की जाए, नामाचार श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जाए। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम कुमार कुंड गिर गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय। श्री मायपुर नवरी धाम की जाय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जाय। जमुना माई की जाय। गंगा माई की जाय। श्रीमती तुलसी देवी की जाय। श्रीमती भक्ति देवी की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय। गौर प्रेमानंद हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhadle. Sri Marivati Vedanta Swamini Tenamini. Namaste Saraswati Dem Gauravani Bicharane. Nirvasesa Sunyavari Paskachare Sitarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, before we begin class today, Acharya Prabhu informed me that today's Harinam, Friday Harinam in Santa Monica Promenade, it leaves the temple a half hour early. Which is it leaves the temple at 5 p.m. And then you'll be back by 7:30 p.m. All right. Yeah. All right. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on text number 43. Nunam Nripanam Tri Madotpatanam Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubihi Vedat Prapanarati Jihir Shayesho Pyu Paikshatagnam Bhagavan Kurunam. What's that? Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. Nunam Ripanam Trimadopatanam Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubuhi Vadat Prapanarti Jihir Shayesho Pyupak Shatagam Bhagavan Kurunam. Nunam Nipanam Trimadotpatanam Mahim Muhas Chalayatam Chamubihi Vadat Prapanarti Jihir Shayesho Pyupak Shatagam Bhagavan Kurunam. Nunam Nipanam Trimadotpatanam Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubihi Vadat Prapanarti Jihir Shayesho Pyupaik Shatagam Bhagavan Kurunam. Nunam Ripanam Trimadopatanam Yupaik Shatagam Bhagavan Kurunam. Nunam Ripanam Trimadopatanam Mahim Muhus Chalayatam Chamubihi Vadat Papanati Jitagesha Vipaishapangam Bhagavan Kurunam. Nunam ripanam trimadopatanam. Mahimuhus chalayatam chamubihi. Vada prapanarti jiheshu. Upaikshatagam Bhagavan Kurunam. Mataji. Nunam nipanam trimadopatanam. Mahim muhus chalayatam chamubihi. Vadapanati. You fight shatagam, Bhagavan Kurunam. Nipanam trimadopatanam. Mahim muhus chalayatam chamubihi. Dattapatamati jayayasa. Nunam, of course. Nipanam. Of the kings, three. Mada utpatanam, going astray out of false pride. Mahim, earth. Muhu, constantly. Chalayatam, agitating. Chamubihi, by movement of soldiers. Vadat, from the act of killing. Prapana, surrendered. Arti jihir shaya, willing to relieve the distress of the sufferers. Ishaha, the Lord. Api, in spite of. Upaikshata, waited. Agam, offenses. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Kurunam, of the Kurus. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Despite His being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, He, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins. And although He saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements, carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride. Purport. As declared in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord appears in the mortal world to execute His much-needed mission of killing the miscreants and giving protection to the suffering faithful. In spite of that mission, Lord Krishna tolerated the insult of Draupadi by the Kurus and the injustices perpetrated against the Pandavas, as well as insults to Himself. The question may be raised, why did He tolerate such injustices and insults in His presence? Why did He not chastise the Kurus immediately? When Draupadi was insulted in the assembly by the Kurus, by their attempt to see her naked in the presence of all, the Lord protected Draupadi by supplying an unlimited length of clothing. But He did not chastise the insulting party immediately. This silence of the Lord did not mean, however, that He excused the offenses of the Kurus. There were many other kings on earth who had become very proud of three kinds of possessions. wealth, education, and followers. And they were constantly agitating the earth by movements of military strength. The Lord was just waiting to get them together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and kill them all at one time, just to make a shortcut in his killing mission. Godless kings or heads of state, when puffed up by the advancement of material wealth, education, and increase of population, always make a show of military strength and give trouble to the innocent. When Lord Krishna was personally present, there were many such kings all over the world, and he thus arranged for the battle of Kurukshetra. So I'd like to just speak a little bit on that part. Om Agyana Timiranda Shaganjana Shalaka Chakshu Amritam Jaina Tasmayasi Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuni Chananda Shri Advaita Gadara Sivasati Gaur Bhatta Vindri. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. So this was a very amazing purport when I was reading it. It amazed me how Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he writes so strong on the point of knowing what Krishna's mood was, what Krishna's strategy or plan was. And I thought that was very amazing in terms of exposing Srila Prabhupada and his position, that he was very connected with Krishna. So whatever he was saying was so apropos and so powerful that when you read this purport, you have to just surrender to it. You can't really argue. And Prabhupada is so adamant. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yo mam evam asamudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid vajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. Krishna says, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, he knows everything and therefore engages himself in full devotional service. So when we're reading Srila Prabhupada's purports, they're his devotional ecstasies. His explanations, as we can see here, are actually coming to him through the Supersoul, through Krishna. And there he's speaking to us all. And I think that the difference between what Prabhupada does and what he says is different because it's not speculation. That's the point. It's actually according to Shastra, understanding, or Parampara. So these are very important and powerful instructions in terms of understanding Krishna's mission. Krishna has a mission when he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata vyutana madharmasya tadatmanamsi jamyaham. Krishna, when he comes, wherever there is a decline of religious practice, O descendants of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I advent myself. So this is Krishna's plan, his strategy. And here he's exhibiting it in this particular purport through Prabhupada, you know, about the battle of Kurukshetra. And we've been reading up to this particular point all different kinds of instructions given by Vidura, or Vidura asking questions, and then from that comes so many understandings and realizations. But an important part of this yada yada hi dharmasya. Dharmasya means religious principles, and then adharmasya means irreligious. So Krishna, he's saying those two things. But Krishna, he's the only one that can manufacture any system of religion. It's not that anyone, although they try to do that, but only Krishna can actually develop or manufacture religion. Therefore, dharma or religion is a direct order of Krishna. So whatever Krishna says, that is a system of religious life, of dharma. And these principles are very clearly enunciated throughout the Vedic literature, especially the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. We see Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. In the Bhagavatam it says, only Krishna can give us what religion actually is. No one else. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that just surrender unto him, sarva dharmam paricca jamam ekam saranam vajam. Ahantvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami ma suchaha. So these are direct instructions and orders given to us by Krishna. And the Vedic literatures, that's their purpose. The Vedic literatures give us this understanding. That's why we read the Bhagavatam and we read the Bhagavad Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita is an instruction by Krishna and the Bhagavatam are pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. And so these points are very important because they're the instruction of how and what we should do in our life. And then we can understand what Krishna's mission is. There's always a mission. And here we see what that mission is in the Battle of Kurukshetra. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also came and had a mission. So Krishna comes on that principle. And we know these activities and these understandings from the Vedic literatures. And then we have the pure devotee of the Lord who actually enunciates to them. He gives us the understanding. I mean, if we read the Bhagavatam from cover to cover and there were no purports, what would be our position in terms of what we know about the Bhagavatam? Not very much. I don't think we could have read this part of the Bhagavatam and had this kind of understanding of what Prabhupada puts us in the purport here. So, this idea of Dharma, it's Krishna's mission, but also at the same time, Dharma, they translate, I was looking this up, they translate the word Dharma in English dictionary as a faith. It's a faith or a religion, F-A-I-T-H, faith or religion. But actually that is not the definition of Dharma. For instance, there's like the Hindu Dharma, there's the Christian Dharma. These are Dharmas, but you can change your faith. I was raised a Catholic, but here I am a Hare Krishna devotee. So my faith as a Catholic was to follow the system of Catholicism. And so now they had the Hindu religion. People followed the system of the Hindu faith. They taught so many things you have to do. Or for that matter, the Christian faith. So, yes, faith is there. But the real downside is that faith can be changed. I was a Catholic, now I'm a Hare Krishna. So many people were Christians, some became Muslims, some became Hindus. Some didn't do anything. So this faith principle is really not applicable to what we identify Dharma as. We identify Dharma as that principle that cannot be changed. You can't change it. It's a certain inherent principle within us. And that is the definition of Dharma. A lot of times Papa gave examples of that. Just like sugar. You might say, what is the Dharma of sugar? It's sweetness. And if you change that, it's not sugar anymore. There's no sugar. If you change it, if you want to change it, it's not sugar. Sugar is sweet. If you want to be hot, then you have to get a chili. That's a chili. Sugar is sweet, chili is hot. So that's very important to understand that the Krishna conscious movement, what it really works and what it deals with is the real inert inner self, the soul. And what is that tendency? Even in the material world, we see that people, if you analyze any individual person out there today, if you just kind of have a conversation with him and you speak with him, you'll see that the human nature is something like, it's called like rendering service to others. That's a big issue. Especially during this pandemic, so many people are out there trying to help others. So the rendering of service to others is a natural, inert position with each and every one of us. That's not something that we have to really even be, you know, trained. It just naturally happens. And we see that people are so interested in that in terms of feeling good because it's their nature. Like sometimes if you just sit out here in front of the apartment complexes that we have, and you'll see that you just sit there and you'll see 50 dogs minimum come by with their master. You can sit and watch, and if that dog passes stool or urine, the so-called master, actually not, he's not the master, the dog's the master. It'll stand there and wait for him, and wait for him to, you know, evacuate, and really be happy. Oh, this is great. And then they have their little baggie, and they pick it up. So they're ecstatic in serving the dog. It's not an artificial imposition. It's not like, oh, somebody's forcing. No, they do it willingly. They purchase the dog in order to serve the dog. And that's a natural tendency. But this is the difficulty with Kali Yuga. That inert natural tendency to serve is misdirected. It's misdirected. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining what that misdirection is. He says that they were proud of three kinds of possessions: wealth, education, and followers. So this is what's happening in this material world. We're getting contaminated. And we're doing service according to designations. We serve, you know, like family, friends, boss. You serve your car, even an inert. You serve your car, for God's sake. But if you tell them, serve Krishna, boom, there's a difficulty. There's an argument immediately. So this service tendency is being misdirected in this age of Kali Yuga especially. So the Krishna conscious movement, it's our business is to revive that real understanding. And instead of serving designations, serve Krishna. Sarva pati vinir mukta tat parat vena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevana bhakta uchite. Designations, this is our problem. Upadi, we think with this body. We think with this mind. And this creates so many difficulties for us. And we misdirect our service tendency for designations. And those designations simply get us more and more implicated in karma in this material world. It's like this whole battle of Kurukshetra. It was misappropriation of the service attitude. And it was based on their wealth, education, followers. And so there was a fratricidal war. So these are the difficulties. So as living entities, we have to become very conscientious and understand the principle of Dharma. And don't think that this is just an ordinary religion that we're practicing in Krishna consciousness. But it's our natural tendency. You can see young boys and girls, they come and they chant, they dance, they're very happy, they're very ecstatic. It's a natural tendency within all of us. So in that sense, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came also, and he was telling us how we can become freed from these designations by the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Just by that principle in itself, by chanting, one can become freed from the upadi, from the bodily designation. And this is extremely important because this is the difficulty. We think that, I can't say what you're thinking, but the tendency for us in this material world is that we want to relate everything to designations. Everything we do. Well, you do tit for tat, you know, you do okay, I'll do for you. But the service attitude can only be really exemplified, or it can come out of you when you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only then does it come out. Otherwise, it's always some kind of arrangement. And that arrangement, it falls down after a certain amount of time. It breaks down. And from that, there's so much frustration, anxiety, distress, misunderstandings, arguments. It's continuous. It's totally always there. So when we direct ourselves towards serving Krishna, then there's certain principles that happen. Certain things happen to us. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sotati Nakamsati Samasavesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. It says that when one is transcendentally situated, when we come to that platform where we're getting rid of the bodily designations and we start to serve Krishna with real devotion and real love, one can become transcendentally situated. And at once that person can realize the Supreme Personality of God or the Supreme Brahman. And when you understand that or you feel it, you feel joyful. Sometimes we can be in a kirtan and the kirtan's really going nicely. And we simply surrender to the kirtan, we feel joy and happiness, so much so that we actually want to dance. People that don't really want to dance, sometimes you see in a kirtan, some people are very shy, don't want to chant. But the more the kirtan starts roaring, the more that we encourage, then automatically we get this blissful, this desire, this joyfulness, because we get connected with the Supreme Brahman by the chanting of the Supreme of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it says that when one reaches this transcendental position, one never laments. And one doesn't even desire anything. And it's also said that that person is equally disposed towards all living entities. And when one achieves that position, it says that that person is in pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness. And really, that's our goal. Our goal is to come to that particular platform. Otherwise, we're not really understanding the essence of Dharma. We're still caught up somewhere in upadi, the body. So if we're not striving for that particular position of being connected with that Supreme Brahman, Krishna, and if we're not wanting to perform pure devotional service, then we need to see how we can rectify that. And that's why Krishna comes. So Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's giving us the opportunity to surpass, rise above this bodily platform of life. In this particular part, in the purport, it's Krishna came personally to eradicate all the demoniac influences that were there. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Paritaranam sadhunam vinasya chuduskitam dharmasam sapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna also comes because he wants to deliver the pious. So Lord Chaitanya came to liberate the pious and to annihilate the miscreants and by the chanting of the holy name. So we see that the pious, they want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says that any person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, a saintly person. Even though that person may not be very cultured or may not even be properly learned in the science of Krishna consciousness, but because one is serving Krishna 100%, one becomes a sadhu or a saintly person. And Prabhupada says that the duskritinos, those that are rascals and atheists, there are people that are just, they don't care about Krishna consciousness. They have no real care, no enthusiasm, no desire to understand Krishna consciousness. So those are duskritinos, and they're very foolish people. And not only foolish, but they're what's considered by Krishna lowest of mankind. So if we just simply execute, if we just become part of and just engage ourselves in serving Krishna, one can become very saintly just in due course of time. One time I was reading a lecture by Prabhupada, and in that lecture he was saying that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that if one just stays, even though one may have bad habits, I can't remember the story now, but he was mentioning, there was a thief. There's a story about a thief he gave, where the thief was invited to associate with a group of people, and they went on a parikrama. And so they all went together, and this person, this thief, was part of the parikrama. So in the course of the parikrama, he was thinking how he was going to steal whatever he could from all these individuals that were on the parikrama. But as he was going along, he became more and more concerned. Well, you know, should I or shouldn't I? I mean, I'm on parikrama. I should at least be thinking about Krishna. But he had a very bad habit. The bad habit was he liked to steal. He wanted to steal all the time. So by the association of the saintly persons and by associating with the parikrama, going hearing about Krishna, he gradually became less and less influenced. But one night, still, the desire of stealing was so intense that he couldn't resist. So he went and he took things, he stole things. And then that whole night, he was very disturbed. How could I do this? I'm on parikrama. But, you know, I'm a thief. I'm very weak. I saw these wonderful things. I want them so bad. And I need to have them. But then the other side of him, but these people are very sincere. They're trying to understand Krishna. What can I do? So finally, the next day came. And when everybody woke up, they start gathering their things. And what they noticed is that it wasn't their particular item. It was somebody else's. So all of a sudden, things were all mixed up. People didn't really have their own personal gear, but they had somebody else's. And then they started questioning, what's going on here? What happened here? And then the thief came forward, and he was very humble, and he explained, I'm a thief by nature. And last night, I stole everything from you. But when I thought about how we're on parikrama, and we're actually, this is a very purifying thing, at the end of the, by the morning, I decided I should get everything back to you. But I may put them in the wrong place. So the reason everything is mixed up is because I couldn't remember. The point of the story is, even though this person was on parikrama, associating with saintly people, hearing about chanting, hearing about Krishna, he, because of his bad habit, he had to steal. But eventually, he became purified. So that's us. I think that's a very applicable story for all of us. That we have, all of us have bad habits. But we shouldn't give up. This is the purificatory process of Krishna consciousness. And what we need to do is kind of like awaken ourselves, to wake up and admit that we have bad habits. And then work on those bad habits. Try to rectify them and try to become a good devotee. So that was the crux of the story. And it was a nice story by Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna, he personally, you know, especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, as he's doing in this particular fratricidal war. And it's not unusual for devotees to be harassed by demons. You had Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, but you had Vasudeva and Devaki, Kamsa. And then now you have the Kauravas, and the Pandavas. So this is not unusual. And in Kali Yuga, we get harassed mostly by our own minds. This is our biggest downfall. We have our minds that we're dealing with constantly, and it creates constant turmoil and difficulty within our lives. So it's very important to understand what Krishna is doing and why he's doing it. And we can understand that principle by the association of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and his dynamic purports. If we study, we read, we chant, we associate, we can come to that next step of Krishna consciousness and actually be happy. There is happiness. And we see that all these different designations, they're constantly giving us turmoil. Constantly. And we as devotees, we should be examples of how that shouldn't be a conflict. We should be showing people how important it is to not be on this bodily platform of life. And we should execute our services very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna and the spiritual master. And if we do that nicely, we'll become satisfied. You can actually become a transcendentalist. You can actually become freed from the bodily consciousness of life and everything that is united with that or together with that. Okay, I'll finish up the purport. In his manifestation of Vishnu Rupa, the Lord expressed his mission of killing as follows. Quote, I have willingly descended on the earth in my capacity of an inexorable time in order to decrease the unwanted population. I shall finish all those who have assembled here except you, the Pandavas. This killing does not wait for you to take part in it. It is already arranged. All will be killed by me. If you want to become famous as the hero of the battlefield and thus enjoy the booty of war, then, O Savyasachi, just become the immediate cause of this killing and thus take the credit. I have already killed all the great warriors, Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, Karna, and many other great generals. Do not worry. Fight the battle and be famous as a great hero. This came from Bhagavad Gita 11:32-34. The Lord always wants to see his devotee as the hero of some episode which he himself performs. He wanted to see his devotee and friend Arjuna as the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. And thus he waited for all the miscreants of the world to assemble. That and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. I was going to read those verses from the Bhagavad Gita, but I know I'm well over time. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.